This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
Hey guys, welcome back to Tips of Teens and Everything in Between. I'm Boaz, joined with Jovi.
Hi.
And we've also got Ben Taylor, Jovi's dad, as the guest today.
Yeah, he's pretty cool. I had to persuade him to come on show. Say hi.
Hi, my name's Ben.
Awesome.
Sweet. So what does your background with cars look like?
So I've been I've been in the automotive trade for probably just under 30 years now. Mm-hmm. Grew up around cars. My dad had minis, classic minis. So grew up getting involved with that sort of stuff.
That's pretty
probably
cool.
High school I got into racing remote control cars, which is a bit of a side thing.
Oh, yeah.
Got pretty competitive in that. And then from there we progressed in doing a bit of motorsport and minis.
Yeah.
Sprint, hill climbs, that sort of thing.
Yep.
And then later on family came along and sort of slowed the whole thing down.
Really. Wow. Hey, you know, we still go to like car events with you and stuff. We still take part.
That's slowing down.
Making it sound like it's entirely us that we're the reason that it stopped.
I wouldn't go that far. Just the belt had to be tightened a little bit.
Right.
Not so much motorsport.
But you've still got the cars.
We'd have a mini that's part of the family that we'd have had it for 20 years now.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, actually, I thought I should preface that, like, the whole point of this episode is we've been talking about licenses. Yeah. Now we're talking about buying your first car. My dad has an auto electrical engineer. Could you tell us how many cars you have? Just, like, in general?
Uncountable, bro.
Technically, only three.
Oh,
yeah. But I thought, like, you know, give a bit of perspective to the audience, you know, and tell them what cars you have.
So I've got a 1977 Mini Club race car.
Sweet.
It's a roll cage in it and racing seats and
nice.
All that sort of stuff. Very cool.
Totally impractical car. Jovi seems to think she's going to own it one day. But
can't even say that online.
Kylie's sure.
It'll happen one day, maybe. I'm
sure she'll modify this.
I can't even say the first
name. The seat on the radio at some stage.
Okay.
What other cars you've got?
And then we've got the one that's part of the family that the kids are growing up around is the, I've got a 1981 Mini LE, which we picked up cheap as chips way back.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually, we went down to an uncle's funeral down the line. It was parked on the side of the road for sale. And it was too cheap, and we needed a car for commuting in.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't like the colour or anything. It was just a tiny little thing. So we drove it home. And,
nice.
And then grew up around it. I planned on painting it and modifying it and stuff like that. And then the colour was never pleasing back in the early days.
Oh, yeah. Wait, what colour was it?
It was called a sand glow yellow, so quite a pale,
I see,
sort of golden yellow.
Brown colour.
Brown?
With a black roof. And it's a special New Zealand
made mini. Nice tan.
Yeah.
But back then it was pretty undesirable because all minis were all, you know, you were customising them and
making them cool.
Making them look cool.
Yeah.
And then I never got around to doing anything with it, and then the kids grew up around it. And then next thing I feel like I'm not allowed to do anything to it anymore.
No, I don't think you can change it because it's
part
just
of
like
the charm. It's just iconic.
Yeah, exactly. Any other cars before we get into the questions?
And then I've got an MG Metro Turbo, which no one knows anything about them. Basically, they were built to replace the classic Mini. So it's got a Mini motor in it.
Bit of a history lesson.
Turbocharged.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
They made a million and a half metros in general, British assembled vehicles.
Yeah.
And then there's only a handful of them left, really, around the place, even in the UK.
Yeah. I feel like you forgot to mention the cool part about the turbo, the car and the turbo. No, you don't even acknowledge it. The speakers, the cool as subwoofers.
Oh, it's got subs.
It does. It's so cool. So that's what makes it cool to me.
So I was into the the hot hatch era, mm-hmm. which would have been 90s, small, high-powered cars.
Yeah.
So it's got a period audio system, all Alpine.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, very beautiful.
Yeah. All right, so we'll move on to the questions now.
Yes.
How much does a car normally cost?
So it's hard to put an actual normal cost on it, sort of really relative to what you're looking for.
Yeah, just like so, what kind of car you're getting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it depends on what your budget is in the first place as well.
True.
Yeah.
We picked up a wee car for cheapest chips. So we got a Corolla for $400 that just needed a bit of work on
yep.
it.
Oh, yeah.
And she's thrashed the living stuff out of it. And
this is not me. Oh, or is this okay. me? Are you talking about me or my sister?
Your sister.
Okay, all right. Because she's also got a Corolla.
And it's still going strong.
Yeah, trusty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Best $400 she spent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, and then, so depending on what your budget is, you can, sky's the limit, really.
Yeah.
For a first car.
Well, how much money should a normal person, save up to, know that they're going to buy, a decent car, Something that's reliable,
Like secondhand, because I'm not thinking, buy it from the shop.
No.
Right out of the factory.
Again, it's best to research what you're looking for. I would suggest you're looking sort of $5,000 to $6,000 would get you something.
$5,000 to $6,000?
Just under 10K at the most, Because 10K and up for a car just sounds unrealistic to me.
Yeah, especially for a first car,
Yeah, exactly.
You want to be able to thrash it without knowing that you're going to, absolutely go broke, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yep. And what about for those people who are I've got my parents' money and I'm going to buy a really cool car that's nice and new and I'm going to treat it well. How much would you say cars normally cost then? This is just a question for those listening, Got to ask the dumb questions, sorry.
Of course, of course.
Oh, I don't know, I would suggest to be looking between 10 and 20, I guess, for if you had that sort of money, you'd get something decent for that sort of.
Mm. Okay. Good answer. So. Carrying on. That's me.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just so bad at the questions right now. What are some reliable car brands to buy from?
So I'm going to suggest that I might be a little bit biased, but I would suggest that you should stick with your Japanese cars.
True.
Your Toyotas, your Hondas, and your... I'll stretch as far as going, Nissan.
Yeah.
Mazdas? Wait, don't you have a Nissan?
Nah.
No, well, someone has in the stand. I remember someone.
I don't own a car yet, but my parents own Toyotas. True. So
hey, there we go.
Yeah,
I've got a Toyota. I don't have a Toyota. I drive a Toyota. It's there. Okay, hang on. Could you elaborate on why Japanese would possibly be a better brand? Just for those who don't know.
I don't know. I've been working on them. I guess they're a little bit more simple than a lot of the European type cars.
Mm-hmm.
And the parts availability is significantly better for the Japanese cars, I guess. They don't have to come so far. And you just need to look at the New Zealand fleet.
Yeah.
And you'll see how common they are, the Toyotas and your Hondas and stuff like that.
True, yeah.
But that's not to say that there's a lot of European ones as well, but there's extra expense with maintaining and owning those.
Yeah, sweet. True.
Well, what kind of car brands should we avoid?
It's probably not kosher to give you those, is it? I don't know.
Go ahead.
If you want. I feel like, because we've got to make it this is advice for people who are buying cars, hey, if you don't want heaps of car problems, buy this car.
I would stay away from the, the French cars.
French cars?
Yep.
Your Citroens and your Italian cars and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Your exotic ones. They're, well engineered, but when you're looking at them for a second hand car, not such a good idea.
Yep.
Yeah.
Any others?
Just the European stuff. They're expensive to maintain.
Just the European stuff.
Just the European stuff. Yeah. A bit eccentric. Okay, alright.
Yeah.
Is it just how they're.
How they're made and manufactured?
Yeah. Do they just break down more often or.
I wouldn't say more often, but it's just the expense of the. Repairs,
I see.
And the complexity of how the car is built, so labour involved with that sort of thing, parts availability
Is
can be quite significant.
Yes, so if you had like a breakdown in your European car, it would cost considerably more for someone to fix whatever issue was and pay for the parts for that issue if you had a European car.
Yeah, totally. Yep.
Than for a Japanese car.
Yep. True. Often, yep.
Yeah.
All right. What should I look for when I'm going to go buy a car? Like, so I've got price, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What else?
So your safety features.
Yeah.
True.
So you've got your star ratings you can look into. Into that sort of thing. Depends what you want, how safe your car is, and obviously the price is going to reflect how safe your vehicle is too.
Yeah.
Somewhat. Fuel efficiency is a thing nowadays.
Yeah, true.
Whether you're going to go diesel or hybrid, and even electric cars, that sort of thing.
Would you suggest hybrids or no?
I wouldn't. If you got a hybrid with a history, maybe that you could see that it's had a battery recently or something. But again, doing your research into that sort of thing, I would recommend.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know that the batteries are significantly, are fairly expensive to replace should you need one.
Yeah.
Mm. And that might not be in your budget when you're
Buying your car, poor student,
shall we say?
Yeah, true.
I was going to say another thing to look out for is like if the car's been stolen or not. Do you say that's important or no?
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
You don't want to own a stolen car
for sure.
Well, I was just getting reassurance from asking that because it seemed like an obvious answer. I was just making sure, clarifying.
And even potentially a car that has been stolen and is all legit. Probably had a bit of a thrashing at some stage in its life and you don't know the full story.
True. All right. Well, I think we're going to go into a break now.
Yeah.
So we'll be back after the song. This is Tips, Teens and Everything in Between. My name is Jovi and we'll see you soon.
See you later.
To Tips, Teens and Everything in Between. My name is Jovi and we're here with Boaz and Ben, my dad. We've just been talking about buying your first car and we just asked Ben, my dad, about... This feels so weird. Ben, my dad. We're just talking to my dad about what to look for when buying a car, what to watch out for. So what should I avoid? Like, what should I look to avoid when buying a car? Like, what do I not want in my car when I'm buying it? Or on my car? Yeah, you get what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, JV, my daughter. So.
It's just for the listeners. They're going to be like, who's this random guy? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you aren't a dad to everyone else here listening. You're just dad to me. So, carrying on.
So, I mean, back to your budget again. depending on what your budget is. Mm-hmm. High mileage cars can be risky, although you know, we've seen a lot of Toyotas coming through with super high miles.
Mm-hmm.
So you can still get cars that are reliable with that sort of mm-hmm. mileage, but there is the risk that you're going to have to do expensive repairs or crack into some expensive maintenance.
Yeah.
How much mileage is a high mileage?
That's a good question.
Like, so random, not necessarily as far as, you know, first cars, but we're seeing a lot of the Land Cruisers coming through mid-90s with sort of, I've seen 800,000 Ks on them.
Whoa.
Oh, that's a lot.
And in really good condition.
That's crazy. 800,000.
Dang.
Man.
Yeah.
Is that like a common thing? Like 800 across all companies, or is it just like Land Rover?
I feel like Toyota's, you know, Toyota's the benchmark for cars with high Ks.
Yeah.
Possibly in New Zealand more so. I've seen seen Hondas online and stuff that have done millions.
Whoa.
And stuff like that. But you do have to be vigilant with your maintenance.
All right.
That sort of thing.
Sweet. How best can I work with my car then? Like, how can I best look after it? Sorry.
Yeah. Can I go back to the other question still?
Yeah.
So I was also going to suggest that you might want to look for accident damage in vehicles or dodgy repairs, so paint colours that change on panels, of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Pop the bonnet, have a look under there, and evidence of poor maintenance or whatever. If you get under the bonnet and it looks dirty as and it looks like no one's been in there for the life of the vehicle,
yeah,
you might want to question that.
Yeah.
Pull the dipstick out, see what colour the oil is.
Mm-hmm.
If it's hard to read the oil on the dipstick, it's either not enough in there, which is bad, or it's super clean and that's good.
True. Mm-hmm. I was just going to ask, for like the people who, like, could you explain what the kind of bad things associated with high mileage might be? Because like when you said high mileage, I was like, oh, okay, that's just a really used car. Could you explain on that a little bit more for me, please?
So when you get in high mileage, the things start to wear out, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Even something as simple as just your door hinges, that sort of thing can wear out.
Mm-hmm.
But your critical stuff, your suspension bushes, your shock absorbers, all those sorts of things, wheel bearings, brakes, those sort of things are starting to get a bit tired with higher Ks.
Oh, yeah.
Brakes are stuff that you'd be maintaining anyway.
Mm. All right.
But that's the sort of stuff that'll be turning up in warrants. And that's probably another consideration is that your warrant of fitness times, if you've got an earlier car, I think it's over 10 years old.
Yeah.
You have to do 6-month warrants, 6-monthly checks.
I see.
Okay. And then if you've got the earlier one, or newer cars, you do 12-month warrants, or the newer again, I think it's every 3 years if you're buying a brand new car, which is probably not what you're getting on your
first car.
Sorry, team.
All right, so now you can ask a question.
How can I best look after my car?
Be kind to your car.
Be kind.
Be kind.
He says it a lot.
I have, yeah. So Javi's elder sister is the sort of person that
she's the one who
jumps in her car, starts it, puts it in gear, foot flat to the floor,
start doing some bunny hops.
This is the one who was on our discussion about learner's licenses. That one. She's the crazy driver. So. Yeah, could you explain a bit more about?
So just be kind to your car. Give it a few moments to you know, start up. Just be chill, stick in gear. Don't
be impatient. I think being impatient with your car can be.
So that's my initial thoughts anyway. And then you want to be follow your manufacturer's service schedules.
Mm-hmm.
Change the oils. Air filters,
mm-hmm.
that sort of thing. Doing that regularly, annually, at least.
Yep.
Checking your tire pressures, that has an effect on your fuel economy as well.
Mm-hmm.
Even just walking around and doing a visual check and getting used to what they look like. So if you come along one day and you think, "Oh, that one looks a bit bulgy on the side or something, you can go and check it. It's just coming familiar with it.
Yeah. Right.
If you're seeing things happen, sort them out promptly, sort of thing. Checking your oils and your engine coolant regularly is something you should do also, because it costs a lot more money to replace a motor if you need to do that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, if you notice a new oil spot under your car where you regularly park it,
start
asking questions about it.
Yeah.
Go and see whoever you know to give it a quick once over and tell you you should do something about it or that sort of thing. Sometimes it's not uncommon for first cars to leak oil.
Yeah.
True that.
That's true. Right. That's true.
What are you looking at me for?
No, did that happen to your car?
Oh, maybe it does. I don't know. I don't think so. I think it's more Brianka's car because her car's an old Japanese car. It's trustworthy, but it's artistic.
I mean, a car's a car. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
At least she looks after her one, not like Paige does. I'm just kidding. Carry on.
What are some common habits you see in people owning or driving their cars that can be bad for the car? Like windows open, for example.
I don't think windows open is particularly a problem, especially if you're a high roller and don't have to pay bills for the for the fuel economy sort of thing. And there's plenty of debate about whether that's such a bad thing in the first place.
I'm looking at you like you would always make sure we had our windows up, and that, you know, if you ever see someone with their windows down, you're like, oh, they're bad air conditioning in their car. They're bad air conditioning. And then be like, now it's like ingrained. Like whenever I see a car with windows down, I'm like, they don't have good air conditioning.
Oh my gosh.
And I never let my windows down unless, like, you know, to talk the other window. Like, yeah. So I'm just appalled that you said that. Carry on though with the question.
I just feel like that's an inside trade joke that I just do when we're driving around to, you know, as a dad.
Oh, okay. Not as an auto electrical engineer. Okay, so I won't care about it as much anymore.
Yeah, you shouldn't worry about that.
Yeah,
just for a bit of a laugh.
All right, well, yeah, guys,
I have my windows open most of the time, so you know.
You must have bad air conditioning.
Feel the breeze. It's not the same.
No, actually, I do that in Jake, but Jake's a mini and he's old, so I guess yeah. Okay, carry on. Just answer the question.
I mean, I would suggest technically that none of my cars have air conditioning.
Yeah,
and so they're all windows down anyway.
No. Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, answer the question. Maybe you could talk about regassing. Why is that bad? Because I think a lot of people do that, right?
Regassing, topping up of your air conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we don't condone that. Doing that would indicate that there's a leak in your system. So air conditioning systems is your old system.
Could you explain a bit more in like non-car terms for those students that aren't auto electrical engineers?
Okay, so your air conditioning system is like a tyre.
All right.
So you put air in your tyre.
Mm-hmm.
If your tyre starts going flat and you feel the need to put more air in it or top it up,
yeah,
would indicate that it's leaking.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And all the air has gone somewhere.
Yeah.
That works with your air conditioning also. So if your cooling effect has disappeared and it is because your refrigerant level is low or your performance has dropped off, would indicate a leak that needs repairing.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Okay.
But there are other things that go wrong with your air conditioning also.
Would you say that regassing is like just putting the tape over the hole, and that instead of regassing you should just replace the tyre? Or what? Yeah. Okay,
yeah, great. Repair and refrigerant. Refrigerant as far as regassing is significantly more expensive nowadays than when regassing became a thing.
Okay. All right. So it's just cheaper to replace the tyre. That is your air conditioning, guys.
Put a patch on it.
Or put a patch on it. Okay, all right.
Which would be replacing O-rings or something like that.
Okay, all right. So where should I be buying my first car from? Where would you suggest, you know? Facebook Marketplace?
Trade Me.
Yeah, all of those.
Or Tina Turner's?
Or ask around, word of mouth.
Okay.
Right. Sometimes you find some bargains doing the word of mouth. That's where we got our bargain.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook. Facebook Marketplace, although you need to be careful on there, obviously. There are
some
characters on there, and I've heard of people that have gone to places to meet people to purchase cars and have been stuck up for their pocket of cash that they know that they've got.
That's not good. That's not good. Yeah. Any other places? Like, do you know any, like, good businesses where they sell cars? I don't feel like you wouldn't, but like just in case you do.
I mean, you can go to like the tuners, car auctions.
Yeah.
I think there's auto auctioneers on T Street there.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, there's quite a few.
They've been known to have some bargains there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, otherwise yeah, Google's your friend, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which would you recommend is like better? Would you suggest like those online ones like Trade Me and Facebook Marketplace or in-person auctions?
Well, they're different sort of things. Trade Me probably is your safest one, I would suggest, in the
mm-hmm.
in the whole scheme of things. Just because of their processes that they have.
Yeah.
They've got the, you know, making contact isn't so easy through Trade Me.
Mm. Get ghosted buying a car and it's just not good. Yeah. But they have like the stuff where it like tells you like the fuel economy of the car and like the if it's been stolen and stuff like that, eh?
Yeah.
Like those kind of history things. Whereas Facebook doesn't.
Yeah, well you still wanna see the vehicle, and if you're not car savvy you would arrange for someone else to look at it for you.
True. All right. Last question from Boaz.
Yeah, speaking about stolen cars, how can I avoid my car being broken into?
I think that potentially you would look to secure your car, make sure it's locked,
yep.
Put all your stuff in the boot or whatever.
Close the windows.
Yeah.
Close the windows.
Yeah.
Maybe potentially if you've got nothing in your glove box, pop the glove box open so there's no reason for them to have a rummage through
it. It's like daring them, like, I don't have anything, yeah. Try it.
Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah, steering locks as a visual deterrent.
Yeah.
Mm. Because of what I do for a living, most of our vehicles have got alarms with remote locking in them.
Yep.
So that's always an option to upgrade to that sort of thing, and they have immobilisers in them also.
Awesome.
So
the cars can't start anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
The only problem with that is that they've usually had to damage your vehicle to get into it to the point where they figure out that they can't take it.
Mm, true.
Which is sirens and lights flashing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so my daughter's just recently had that. Where her car got broken into at Chartwell.
Yeah, true.
They smashed the window. And she was quite upset about it, but at the end of the day, her car was still there.
And
the guys were distracted by the siren and lights.
Yeah. All right, you can close the episode for us.
All right, guys, thanks for listening. This has been Tips for Teens and Everything in Between with Jovi and Ben.
Hi. thank you.
Bye.
I was going to say thank you for being on the show, Dad.
Yeah.
All right, see you guys.
Yeah. See you later.
This is Tips for Teens. Bye.
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 For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.